Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with us tonight our big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, I am.
He's God, and my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
All right. Praise God. Good to be on the line another Thursday night where we can lift up the name of Jesus, and we're going to get into it with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Sheila G, it's another rainy night in the DMV, but we thank God for allowing us to be able to come another week and study the book of Acts, and we're studying in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and some people call it the Acts of the Holy Ghost, and we're in the 20th chapter, and as we're looking at this 20th chapter, or the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Holy Ghost, we see how the leader, Apostle Paul, is coming toward the end of his earthly ministry, and how he's finished his missionary journey. He had like 3 missionary journeys where he went around establishing churches in the area of Asia Minor, what we call modern-day Turkey, and how he was making his way back to Jerusalem to be accosted, if you will, and falsely accused, and ultimately sent to Rome and to live his life out and be a martyr for the Lord. And in all of his ministry that we've seen in the book of Acts, Paul has conducted himself in a way that is pleasing to the sight of God. I believe Dr. G just said last week that when he was with Pastor King, that his former pastor, that he said that he was in a position of ministry where he felt that his job was to work for Jesus and that Jesus would pay him what was right. And so that was his focus of being committed to carrying out the task that God had given him. And here we see Paul serving with dignity, serving under the Holy Spirit, realizing that his job, and that was a question we asked last week, was to complete the task that Jesus had given us in ministry. And we often forget, you know, a lot of times that it's not always pretty. I believe Dr. D said he don't mind picking up trash or cleaning the bathroom or whatever. It's not always pretty to be a leader in ministry, but our focus is to be the leader that God has called us to be, and whatever he wants us to do, we'll do. And here we see Paul, knowing that his life is coming to the end of his earthly ministry, that he would ultimately be martyred, and that the people that he ministered to, that he would no longer see again. And it created a sad, semi-like melancholy moment. But when you look back to Jesus, when he was with his disciples, when he told them that, you know, he wouldn't be with them anymore, it was the same type of thing. But ultimately, Paul and Jesus were able to carry out God's will for their lives because they understood their role. And their role was not to stay around and be popular, but their role was to complete what God intended for them to complete. Sheila G.
Amen. In order for them to do that, they recognize that it's not about me. It's not about them. And that's where our focus, if you put your focus on the mission that God has for you, when you go through your ups and downs, you won't wallow in the pain or the stress. You will celebrate in the victory, even though you may be in an unhappy situation. But the key to them is if they were selfless. They recognized that they were servants of the Lord. They recognized that whatever they did in the end, God would get the glory, and that's where their joy came from.
Amen. And you were talking briefly about this last week, about the position that these people in Ukraine have, that are fighting for their country, and
right.
and that they find themselves in an untenable position, and many have already lost their lives, but many more are willing to lose their lives to stand up for what is right. And that's the integrity that Paul lived with, that he was going to do what was right. He wasn't going to get swayed by, you know, popularity. And you see that a lot of times with politicians and these big wigs. I believe, Dr. G, you call them these so-called preachers and these bishops and folks with the names, that they're in it for the wrong reason. And they're not in it for the glory of God, but they're in it to puff themselves up, and they're in it for the wrong reason. But when you look at people that are willing to go down for the right thing instead of, you know, looking out for themselves and trying to enforce their will on somebody so that they can get the glory. But these people are willing to go down for what is right. And that's something to instill, that's instilled by your parents or your leaders, to stand up for what's right. You know, when nobody, that's the true character, the test of character is what you do when nobody else is watching. When people are looking at you, what are you doing? And are you perpetrating a fraud, or are you doing the right thing even when nobody else is looking? Sheila G.
Amen. As you said, it's your character is what you do when no one is looking. And you can overcome evil with good. You can't overcome evil with evil, but you can definitely overcome evil with good. And that's really what's happening in Ukraine. And you have the evil empire thinking that they could conquer it. And you see that through the Bible, too. Like, there were many times, I think it was Gideon, where the Lord kept telling him, no, you got too many people. You got too many people.
Mm-hmm.
You got
mm-hmm.
too many people. And he was able to conquer the giants in the army because they were dependent on Christ. And I believe, and I truly believe in my heart, that God allows us to have victories in impossible situations so that we won't claim it as our own, so that we will know that that's nobody but God that did that. And even as we're watching the situation in Ukraine, that everybody in their human eyes were predicting, oh, you know what, it's going to be over in a couple of days because Russia's so much bigger than Ukraine. But when you talk to the people, one of the first things that president says is, if God is with us, he can't be with them. So when you bring God into it, looking at what's impossible over the last month, you can only give glory to God, where people are coming together and the goodness is coming out of people. So that's how we should look at things. And that's how Paul looked at it, too, is like, I can't look at my situation. I can trust in God, and he's done it before. He'll do it again. And whatever it is, as long as I'm doing it to his glory, I'm going to be okay.
Amen. And Dr. G, one of the things we talked about last week is in ministry, I believe you said, you know, just, that's just how it's going to be. You know, that there's going to always be a challenge. There's always going to be evil. There's always going to be situations, circumstances that are going to be coming against you personally, coming against the church. And just needed to stay focused on doing the will of God. And it is so interesting to see people like yourself who have been in ministry so long and seen so many challenges, but yet you still have the same zeal, the same fervor, the same mindset like Paul had in that verse 24 to carry out, you know, the task and testify the good news of God's grace. Dr. G.
Well, you know, I thank God for it. I can't take credit for it. That's only by the grace of God. And I think that's one of the things that really causes Paul to stand out. Paul was committed to his mission. After the Lord got his attention and caused him to become blind, and once he restored his sight, Paul had a change of heart, and he was committed. Just like Jesus was. Jesus was committed to the mission at hand. No, he didn't like everything that he had to go through, but he was committed.
Amen.
And I think that's
Amen.
What it takes for us in this day and time. If we're going to be true followers of the Christ, we have to have a certain commitment. And no matter how rough it gets, no matter how bad it gets, you got to stay your course and trust and depend on the Lord.
Amen, amen. Let's go to Acts 20, verse 24. I'm going to read the NIV. It says, however, I considered my life worthy nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. And so this was his commitment. This is what he was committed to bring about the good news. And a lot of times what compels or propels people in leadership and ministry is when they're committed to doing the will of God is they have a deep understanding that if people could develop that relationship, that personal relationship with God, whatever they're going through, the good news is that God would help them, that God would deliver them, God would give them the ability through that relationship to be able to make it, to be able to have hope, to be able to have joy in the midst of all those things. And so the compelling factor in leadership is that you want the best for people. So like what you want for your children, what you want for your family, what you want for your church or what you want for your neighborhood, what you want for your country is the best. And so when you see someone that wanting someone to do good, wanting the best for somebody, that's what compels you. Paul said, this is good news. He said, the good news of God's grace. And when you understand that someone wants you to have that good news of the gospel or someone's looking out for you, that's what drives you because you know that God will make a difference in your life and someone else's life. And Sheila G, when you know that you have something that you can share that's going to make a difference in someone's life, that's what you want to share. And when you have that attitude, you're not thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about being selfish. What you're doing is you're going to say, hey, I know, you know, at a certain age, young people go through this. At a certain age, middle-aged people go through this. At a certain age, seniors go through this. But we've got a message from God that whether you're young, middle-aged, or senior, that this is good news. This is what will give you sustaining sustainability at every stage in your life. And that's what you get excited about. Say, I need to carry this out and preach this good news because people are going through. And so when I can tell them to cast their cares upon Jesus because he cares for you and that his load is easy and his burden is easy and his load is light. When you have an understanding of that, you want to share that with me. You see someone going through, you see someone beat down, you see someone defeated, you see someone struggling, and you say, I want to share some good news with this person because I know from personal experience that this is the good news that's going to help me to be able to make it through my situation. And so that's what compels true leaders and true ministers, true Christians to say, hey, there's some good news. Brother, it might be bad, it might be rough, but there's some good news that God said he would never leave you nor forsake you. Trust him at his word and watch him see you through. Sheila G. Oh, man, she must have just dropped off. That's right, when she comes back. But that's the thing that you have to understand about being in ministry. It's not a thing for yourself, but it's something that at least I get excited about, is sharing good news with people that are going through or might have some struggles in their lives to say, I got something that I can share with you. I think I got her back. Sheila G, I got you back. You just dropped off. Go ahead.
You were preaching hard. The devil was upset. But it's so many things that you packed into that. The first point I want to make is that when you are going through a tough time, the best way to feel better is to help somebody else, to serve somebody else, to give to somebody else. Because in that, that's one, putting the devil on notice that he can't mess with you. And two, you feel good when you're helping somebody else. It takes that focus off of your situation. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that things that are impossible with man are possible with God. So like you said, whatever phase, whether it's a child in school or it's a senior that just found out that they're going to have to go into a rehab center to get help, that God, that trust and that faith in God is consistent. Whatever the circumstance is, when you share that with somebody and you know that the Lord is with you, then you can get through all the phases of your life. You can't do that with man. You find, if we look back over our lives, there are plenty of people mm-hmm. that we started out with that were only with us for a season. And then we had mm-hmm. other people different season. But God is consistently with us from the day that we're born, especially at the time that we accept him and we continue to walk in his path. He will let you know that there's somebody that he's right there with you. But when we serve him and we share that good news and to someone else, we're also sharing it with ourselves. A lot of times that will, when you go to encourage someone else, you end up encouraging yourself because it brings back mm-hmm. remembrance. You know what? I'm telling this person how God helped me to get over it. What am I complaining about? Because he did it for me, and I'm sharing my testimony with somebody else, then I'm rejuvenated. And that's really what we need to do, is just continue to encourage others, serve others, and not focus on ourselves. And then we, too, will be rejuvenated knowing the good news of the Lord.
Amen. That's powerful. And you find sometimes, I find myself smiling sometimes, I don't know if anyone else does, is when you're going through something and then right when you least expect it, God comes through or God does something. And it just brings a smile to my face. And I'll just find myself saying, thank you, Lord. You know, when you have resolved that hey, he's the only one that's going to work it out and you're going about your business, walking in faith, and then lo and behold, I don't know when time, whatever it does, but it'll come, whether it's at work or whether it's in the store or driving down the road and something happens, and you just say, wow, look at God, thank you. And that brings you joy, and that will allow you to share that with someone else to say, hey, hang in there, my brother. Hang in there, my sister. It's going to work out in your favor. You just got to hang in there and trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall and he will direct your path. Dr. G, help me out with this thing.
Well, you're right. You know, last night was prayer service for us, and it was just so happened that it was Michelle's 60th birthday, and that was one of the most upbeat prayer services that we've ever had. And, you know, everyone that got on, they were talking about how good the Lord was, but they were talking about how Sheila had done something or said something to really lift his spirits. And I watched her, and I just sat there and listened, and I said, now, see, that's what God will do. When you allow him to use you to help somebody else, you know, you're talking about you get paid for what you do. That's the truth. And the Lord knows what he's doing. Half the time we don't know what God is doing. And he doesn't, reveal himself to us to let us know. But if we have faith enough to trust him and just lean and depend on him, he will make that path straight. And once we, you know, I sat there and I listened to people, and I told them, you know, it was like, kind of like a moment where, you know, your children have all grown up, and they're coming up with positive things. You know, there was nothing negative being said.
Mm-hmm.
And I said I was very proud of them because within the two-year period that we've been on the pandemic, you know, I've seen how they've grown even being away from the sanctuary. Now we're trying to get folk ready to go back into the building, and that's another obstacle right there. But to listen to them with their testimonies, and they were all positive, and how they're helping other people to see the
thing. There you go. Amen. Amen. Good stuff. We're going to go back to Acts, and we're going to go Acts 20, verse 25. And again, I'm reading from the NIV. In Acts 20, 25, it says, now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. This it's like bittersweet, it's melancholy. Because, you know, when Jesus told his disciples, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. That means that he was leaving them. But he said, if I go, I'll come again. So Paul is saying that, you know, I've done what I could here. I've done my ministry here, but you probably won't see me again. And it reminds me the similarities when Dr. King was coming toward the end of his earthly ministry before he was assassinated, and he shared with his followers, the people that he was ministering to, that he said, we as a people will get to the promised land. He said, I might not get there with you, but I might not be there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. In other words, he was saying that his earthly ministry was going to end. And at some point, all of our earthly ministries will come to an end until the Lord comes back and cracks the sky, and the dead in Christ will get up first, and those of us that will remain will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. But at some point, earthly ministry will come to an end. And so we have to be prepared that when the earthly ministry comes to an end, not to be so overwhelmingly grieved. Yes, we mourn, but we don't mourn like those who have no hope. But the earthly ministry comes to an end. And Sheila G., we know it was tough when we saw our parents and our grandparents and our loved ones in our family. Earthly ministry comes to an end. And yes, we mourn. But we didn't mourn like those who had no hope, because we know that they have carried out the task that God had given them to preach the good news. And so as I look at this, yes, it's sad, but yes, it should be a thing of also that we should be thankful that they set an example, that they completed their task, and it should compel us to want to complete the task as well. Sheila G.
Amen. As we read that, as you just read that scripture, it actually brought me back to our father, because I was with him the day that he died. I had gone over to the house, and when I was back there in the room before he passed, he was talking, and he wasn't in any pain. And I had shown him this thumbs up, and he gave me a thumbs up. And as I was sitting in that couch next to the bed, he said, I want you to know that I'm proud of you, and make sure all your brothers know that I'm proud of you. And I know that you all are going to carry on the legacy of the family and everything that your mom and I instilled in you. And he said that he was ready. He was fine. He said, I lived a great life. The Lord blessed me. He blessed me with you all. He blessed me in throughout this life. So I don't have any sadness. But when you were saying that, I just remember him saying that it was like, I finished my race. God blessed me to do this.
Yes.
Said, I am proud of you, and make sure, and all of you guys, and make sure you tell everyone that. And I remember when I went, he was still alive at that point, and I went into the living room. The nurses came. He ate. He got his bath, you know.
Yeah.
He ate really to fix him. And then after he was done, it was like, he had to give that last message in, so he gave that last message to me to give to you guys. He got cleaned up, and then he left on to go be with God in glory. And when you said
Hallelujah.
That, that's almost the same thing, because he was with us, you know, he was 84 when he passed, but he just reminded us that, you know, God bless me. I lived a wonderful life before you all. I'm proud of you guys because I got the opportunity to see you all accept Christ. Now I'm going to get myself clean. I'm going to have my last supper, and I'm going to be with glory with God.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Thank you again for that testimony. And so Paul, he's just being real with them, and he's letting them know Jesus was real. Paul was real. Dr. King was real. People in your life are real. That have gone on, and we have to, we who remain have to be real, and we have to be committed, and we have to be consistent with our ministry. So let's go back to Acts 20 and verse 26 and see where he picks up. He says, therefore, and this is his declaration. He says, therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. And so what he's saying is, he said, saying that I've done what God has asked me to do. And I believe you said that earlier, Sheila G, that, you know, the life you lead will speak for you. And you don't have, no one has to make up anything at your home going. No one has to make up or try to dig in to try to find out, you know, what they did or justify what you did. But the life that you lead, and what you were talking about earlier today, Dr. G, is the life that someone leads will speak for them. And then you can see and you can give them their roses while they're living, because they have lived a life that is worthy of being appreciated. And so Paul is saying, you know, I'm telling you today, I'm innocent of the blood of any of you, because in verse 27, so for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. In other words, I didn't live a part-time life. I didn't live just a life on Sunday. I didn't just live a life and spoke a word and didn't live a word. We talked about that last week, what James was saying, faith without works is dead. But he said, I didn't hesitate to proclaim to you the whole will of God. In other words, my life has been consistent. I've lived a life according to the word of God. I've set the example in good times and bad times, through tears, through joy, the whole gamut. And he says, in all of this, I didn't hesitate to proclaim the whole will of God. In other words, from A to Z, I told you about the good times. I told you about the bad times. You've seen my life. You've seen my ups. You've seen my downs. You've seen my struggles. You've seen my failures. You've seen my successes. But in spite of all those things, I did not hesitate to proclaim the whole will of God. And the whole will of God is this in a nutshell, amen, is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, I gave you the whole story. All of us come up short, but all of us can receive salvation through Jesus Christ. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, there, you know, the Bible says there's none righteous but one. And you're right. We all have sinned, and we're going to come short of the glory of God. But we do while we're living is really what speaks for us. I mean, you know, when you all were sitting there talking about your dad and your mom, I went back and I thought about my parents, and I remember my dad and my mom and all the little family members, they drank until they couldn't drink anymore. But there was a period, especially in my dad's life, when he changed. change. He stopped drinking. He started going to church. And I remember he joined the usher board, and him and the president of the, they were the most committed individuals that I had ever seen in church. And it's, it's just amazing how when the Lord gets a hold of you and you turn your life around, you give it over to the Lord, and how God will come in and clean it up. And preaching and teaching is part of it, but just like we said, the life that you live before other people, and that was what was so special about your parents. You know, they lived their life. It wasn't just talk. You know, your dad carried himself in such a way, he demanded respect. And when he went to church, it was the same thing. And so, you know, you have to look at people like that and understand that that's nothing but God's grace, that you thank God that people like that have been in your life and that you relate to them. And that gives us something that we have to understand and transfer it, teach it, preach it to other people, especially our kids.
Amen. Sheila G. You there, Sheila? I think I must have lost her again. But we see Paul is just giving a surmise of what he was doing. He's saying, I didn't have nothing to hide. I've done what God has asked of me. I've preached, amen, the word of God, and that I have not hesitated to give you the good news. And that's an awesome thing to know, that you can, without a shadow of a doubt, give God the glory, give him the grace, give him the ability to see, let people see his work in your life. And when you have the ability to have that happen, it's something that brings you joy, and it brings joys to others. So let's finish up in Acts 20, and we're going to go to verse 28, and Paul's going to finish up his I would call it his address to to his disciples. So in Acts 20, verse 28, he says, "Keep watch over yourselves." In other words, he's giving instruction now to his disciples. He says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flocks of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." And this is a deep statement right here. He's saying, watch yourself.
Yeah.
And the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. In other words, he's giving instruction to those who are leaders in the church. But he's saying, look at yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important, again, to lead that life. So he's saying, look at yourself, watch yourself. In other words, you can't take that toothpick, that little piece out of somebody else's eye if you got a big old beam in your eye. So he's saying, look over yourself. He says, and all of the folk which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. In other words, you got to be so in tune with the Holy Spirit that you're taking inventory of yourself, and that you're being guided by the Holy Spirit to the people that you have that God has made you overseer of. In other words, it's so deep. This, we can talk for hours on this thing. It's so deep to say, take care of yourself. Then you can take care of somebody else. But you got to be led by the Holy Spirit to be able to take care of yourself and someone else. You just can't be an overseer of everything. You got to learn how to stay in the lane that the Holy Spirit is giving you. Lord have mercy. I'm going to say that again. You got to be able to stay in the lane that the Holy Spirit is giving to you. In other words, you got to minister within the parameters of the gifting that God is giving you. You can't be all of these things that everybody else is, but you have to stay in the lane that the Holy Spirit is giving you. Take care of what God has given you, and take care of those who God has given you to be overseeing, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a mother or a father, whether you're a friend. Be guided by the Holy Spirit so that, that the church of God, that the church of God can move forward according to the will and the plan of God. But you got to look at that verse and say, I got to make sure the Holy Spirit is leading me to make sure that he's leading me to take care of these people that God has placed me over, the example to those that are around me, so that the will of God can be carried out by the body of Christ. Sheila G, help me out.
And that's really important, and something that I've observed through both you and Pastor Gregory. It's really, really important to be a true overseer over flock, because the flock is, and you're in charge of them, so you have to be truly wrapped up, tied up in the Holy Spirit, because Satan is coming after you. I know I've said this time before when I was part of a Minister's Wives group, and one of our retreats was, what was the thing that you disliked the most about being a preacher's wife? And my thing was the fact that you all have to go through stuff all the time. So you just know that Satan's going to pick, especially before you have to preach or you have to make a big decision about the church. So you have to keep watch over yourself. You have to have the Holy Spirit within you, because there are going to be challenges where you're going to get hit from both sides of the church. And when that happens, if you're not wrapped up, tied up in the Holy Spirit, then you'll mislead the church, and then you will have blood on your hands.
Amen. Well said. Let's finish that verse 28. And he says, be shepherds of the church of God. A shepherd, and if anybody gets a chance, and I like to tell people, anybody gets a chance, go be around some sheep for an hour or two. And if you're around sheep out in the natural, it's not a glamorous job. Mm-mm. Dr. G, I tell people pastoring is not a glamorous job. It's a job of love. It's a job of caring. It's a job of compassion.
Oh, right.
That you're looking after these sheep, and you're in the mud, and it's smelly, and it's raining, and it's cold, and it's outside, and you have this mutton, and the muttons, they have tendencies, and sometimes they go astray. You got to go and you got to bring them back, and they'll go astray again, and then. And it's a thing of you're tending for the sheep, and Jesus is comparing Paul is comparing ministry to a shepherd that is taking care of sheep. And like I said, do some research and some study on sheep. Sheep are some peculiar animals, and you have to have a certain care and compassion and know-how to be able to properly take care of the sheep. But if you learn to properly take care of them, they'll listen to your voice. There was a chapter in the gospel where the sheep were in the a pen, and several shepherds would put their sheep in a pen, and when the shepherd came, he would call them, and only the sheep that he tended to would follow him. And so what we have to do is we have to be shepherds to be able to gain trust in the people who God has placed us as overseers of, shepherds over, and get them to understand that we're speaking the word of God for them to follow us as we follow Christ. And when they can understand that voice, that they'll follow us as we follow Christ, then what happens is you can be successful in shepherding the sheep. But shepherding is not an easy thing. It's not a glamorous thing. It's not a thing where you're going to get all kind of glory, but it's work. It's a thing of compassion. It's a thing of consistency, so that you can make sure you look after properly the sheep and ultimately the church of God. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you hit it right there on the head. Pastoring is hard. When you're dealing and you're responsible for other people, I look back over my ministry as a pastor, and, you know, you have to love the sheep. You've got to put up with their stubbornness, their hard-headedness. You've got to have compassion for them when they go off in the left field. I mean, you have to give of yourself. I get tickled now with my folk because, and they'll tell me, well, Pastor, I just didn't want to bother you. And I had to tell a lady last night, look, I may be at work, but if any of you need me, pick up that phone and call. Because that's what I'm here for, is to help you all. And it doesn't matter the time of the day, but, you know, we make ourselves available. No, it's not about a pat on the back. It's not about a whole bunch of glory. It's definitely not about receiving a lot of money. But it's about seeing your people grow in the body of Christ, listening to them and seeing that they're getting stronger in their faith. And that what you tell them, they take the advice, then they put it into action, and then they find that what you were saying is the truth. You know, that right there, it brings such great joy and satisfaction, at least to me. And to see how folks are really growing in Christ, that makes a world of difference to me.
Amen, amen. And to finish that verse up, like I said, we could talk about verse 28 for an hour. But to finish that verse up, he says, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And I'm going to read that in the verse 28 in the King James. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. And so the key is to understand, and what shepherds have to understand, that yes, we're overseers. In other words, we're shepherds, but God is the one that purchased the church with his blood. In other words, that will keep us humble that we didn't shed any blood. So when the shepherds or the overseers get a little puffed up or think we're doing something, we Paul says, remember, he purchased this with his blood, and we're just overseeing the church, but Jesus was the one that made the sacrifice, the purchase, if you will, that wiped the slate clean, if you will, that was the one, amen, that paid the price that we couldn't afford to pay. And all of our righteousness is but filthy rag. And so that should keep us humble. That should keep us as being good shepherds. That should be us as being good overseers, because God purchased. And so what we're doing is we're overseeing, Sheila G, the purchase that God has purchased with through his son Jesus Christ's blood. We're overseeing. We're shepherding the purchase of God. We've been born of his spirit, washed in his blood, purchased of God, but the shepherd and the overseer, we're just overseeing it. And so what happens is when you get in a situation where you think you are the purchaser and not the overseer or the shepherd, that's when you run into trouble. But when you understand that I'm just overseeing this thing, you know, God is the one that purchased you. So that's why you can't put the leaders on a pedestal, because the leader didn't shed any blood, and his blood wasn't righteous enough even if he did shed some blood. He's just an overseer. And the overseer should be understanding what he's overseeing and whose it is that he's overseeing. And again, this verse is so packed. We could be here all night. Help me out, Sheila G.
Amen. And that's why the overseer has to be led by the Holy Spirit, because at the end of the day, we're ambassadors for Christ, meaning we're representing Christ, but we didn't make that sacrifice. He purchased and overcame our sins through his blood. It wasn't through of the human blood. It was through the spiritual blood, his death, burial, and resurrection. So as overseers, we are ambassadors. We are representatives. So it's not about us. We can't put ourselves on a pedestal. And even at that, Jesus said he was a servant. So how can we put ourselves on a pedestal when the king himself is the servant? And that is why it's so important that pastors have to be led by the Holy Spirit, even if it's an unpopular decision. Because if you start making decisions because you want your congregation or to be happy with you, in which case you're not going to have everybody because you've got all these different personalities anyway, then that's when cliques develop, and that's when the church gets divided. But if there's one head, which is Christ, and the overseer is led by Christ and consistently
Amen.
Lets whoever in the congregation that we are doing the following things because it's not because of the book of the pastor, because it's the book of the Lord, then, no, you can't have isms and schisms. And if there are people that aren't truly wanting to follow Christ and they fall by the wayside, the Bible itself says dust off your shoes and keep it moving. But as an overseer and a pastor, you can't run or be shepherds over God's sheep if you're going to let the sheep dictate to you how the church should be run.
Come on.
Lord have mercy, you done said a mouthful. Dr. G, you want to follow up on that?
I don't see how we can. I mean, girlfriend said it all. The sheep are not
Amen.
Pastor. Pastor has to be led by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why a lot of folk, it keeps a lot of people away from the church because there's so much junk going on in the church. Folk don't want to come there when they got to fight and fuss and go through a bunch of stuff. And, you know, what people need to understand, okay, number one, we have to give all glory to God. He is first and foremost. Then your shepherd, if he or she or whatever is a man of God leading and following after Christ, according to the word, and that's why it's important that the people, the sheep, need to know what's in the word themselves so that they can know whether or not that pastor, that overseer is leading folk according to the will of the Lord.
Amen.
But, you know, this thing that we, you know, we live in the midst of a
Oh man, I think we lost him. Oh man, he was in mid sentence, but we'll get him back. We'll get him back in a second. But yeah, this verse 28 is powerful. It's one of the most powerful ones in the book of Acts, and it's so much meat there for the body of Christ. And when you have that understanding of what the role is. Of the Christian, of the leadership, of everyone in the body of Christ, of how we should be on one accord, how we should be Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit led, to stay in our Holy Spirit lane, and do what God has called us to do. How it's more beneficial for the church, and I think we're gonna give Dr. G finish his statement, and then we're gonna go to the phone line. Dr. G,
as we were saying, you know, it's about being obedient to what God wants. And I've learned in, over 27 years of pastoring that it is not easy. And there are things that we must do and things that we have to carry ourselves according to what the Lord wants. And I tell you what, it is a learning experience. And for these little young people, go into pastoring, and they think it's all about them. And, you know, I've watched how a lot of them, you know, they suck up to a lot of the older preachers. They suck up to the people. You know, they put themselves on a pedestal. No, it's not about any of that. It's about service to the Lord. And when they get to that point where they understand that it's all about the Lord, it's all about God, it's all about what we do for him. And when people get to that point, they see their pastor as a person that's being led by the Holy Spirit, then they're not going to mind following him and doing as he asks. But we pastors and overseers, as you said, must be consistent, and we need to check ourselves daily.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to go to the phone line. We're going to ask the question tonight of the importance of staying in your Holy Ghost-led lane. Your Holy Ghost-led lane. In other words, you staying in your lane as the Holy Spirit has led you, whether you're an overseer, whether you're a shepherd, whether you're a parent, whether you're a friend or whoever, staying in your lane as the Holy Spirit leads. We're going to go to our first caller. Last four digits, 6309. 6309, good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello. Oh, good evening.
We got you. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I understand the importance of staying in your Holy Ghost filled lane, because that's when you lead, you're letting the Lord lead and direct your path. And I didn't always do that, but I'm growing and growing and growing, and I daily ask the Lord to lead and guide and direct my path. Lead me. Stop me if I'm going the wrong way, and I'm going to listen, and I'm going to do just as he said. I'm going to humble myself. You see, if once you humble yourself, you can do a lot of things. You can stay in your own lane, but you do need the help of the Holy Spirit, and that's what I ask him for daily. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Want to say happy birthday to Evangelist Gregory and thank her so much, as well as you, Pastor, and Pastor Gregory, for just letting the Holy Spirit use you all and teaching us. I appreciate that. Thank you all so much. Thank you. I'd like to say, yes, I realize the importance of staying in my lane, if I'm going to do the will of God, doing what God has called me to do and what he has gifted me to do. And when we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and show us what he wants us to do, his will and his purpose for our life, then we are submitting and surrendering over to him and ask God to give us a listening ear and a listening heart, so that we can hear and know what to do, and constantly praying and asking God to lead us and to show us, because a lot of times we think we know things and we don't know it. It's going in the wrong direction. So we definitely need the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. And if we trust the Lord is going to lead us. He's going to show us. And sometimes people get a little bit frustrated because they feel like, you know, they know it all. They have the answers. But God speak to his pastors. He speak to his shepherds. And he gives them visions. He give them the message that he want them to have for his church, because they are responsible for his church. And so I think people need to realize that you are not the pastor. So if you don't understand some things that God has told the pastor or the shepherd, it's not for you to understand it, but pray that God will give you enough peace about it, okay? And he will open up your understanding for what you need to know to get done what he needs you to do in ministry. But God's going to give the pastor and the shepherd, he's going to speak to them and tell them things that he's not going to tell the sheep, because he didn't put the sheep in charge. He put the shepherd. And I think when we know who God has put in charge, then we can do our gift. And God put us here to work together. And if something is wrong, then pray over it. Pray over it. God don't fix it. God don't work it out.
Amen.
Because he's going to have everything for his glory. And so he has put us here as one body so that he can get the glory. And so when we realize that each one of us have a gift, we have a purpose, and we do what God has called us to do, and be contented with what God has called you to do. Just be contented. Just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for what he has blessed you to do, and just give him the best. That's all he wants. And
that's
he's
right.
Going to get the glory in the end. It's not about me. It's not about the shepherd. It's about God being glorified. It's about bringing in souls for the kingdom. And when we get kingdom-minded and put our focus on God and not on ourselves, then it's okay. It's all right. So, you know, I just thank God. And as we grow in him spiritually, He show us. He metal our hearts. He gives us a little more peace, a little more understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And things that people fuss and he let us know that's not important. What's important is bringing in souls, and I get the glory. And a lot of bickering that these churches do, it's not necessary. It's not needed. And as long as we are, as long as we are fighting each other, the church is not growing. It can be no spiritual growth there.
Mm.
And it's hard to pray for somebody when your heart is not right and you don't have the right kind of love for them in your heart.
Yeah.
It's hard to pray. If you want, you know, you got to have that pure heart. You got to have that right prayer for them, you know. And so you just got to ask God to help you. And if you got differences, then just ask God to help you and hold your tongue sometimes. Just hold your tongue because everything
Amen.
You don't have
Amen.
To say. You don't have
Amen.
To say everything. God will fix it. He's going to work it out. He's going to get the glory out of the situation. And just, you know, my thing is when we're fighting, nobody's getting the glory. The church is not being built up. The kingdom, souls are not being won for the kingdom. When there is peace, when there is no peace, when there is war. So in order for us to grow together spiritually, we got to be on one accord. Come together on one accord. So, I just thank God, and I just praise him. I give him the glory, and I pray that he will continue to work with me and help me so that the faults that I got and the things that not right with me, fix me, Lord. Just fix me. And I just thank God. I just thank God for being so merciful, and I pray that he keep me humble and meek and keep me teachable. Because I need to be teachable, and the more I stay in that word, then I don't have to worry about a lot of foolishness. So I just thank God tonight.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 1211, 1211. Good evening. 1211, good evening. All right, but then we're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 3343, 3343. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank the good Lord for that. I'm on the right lane. Thank Reverend just said the right thing. Keep your mouth quiet and just let the God do the thing. Because I had some thoughts in my mind, and I was going to say something and do something, and the Lord stopped me tonight and got made me sit still and just stand there. And just sending things all through my mind, and my mouth got closed, and got glued to my mouth. I was going to say something, and I didn't do it. Thank God that he come right on and went over in, and I put my hand on what I was had my mind on and going to do something and say something. He put my hand on it and told me to keep quiet, be still. And that's what I'm at right now. I'm on my right road. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony. Evening. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 0072. 0072. Good evening. All right. You must be listening in. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 9095. 9095. Good evening. All right. Let's be listening in. Go to our next caller. 0266, 0266. Good evening. All right, we go to our next caller. The last 4 digits 1712, 1712. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
This is a very good question, great question. I would have to say it's extremely important to stay in your spiritual lane, and I know Sister Gregory's going to get what I'm saying here because we always talk sports, but one of the famous quotes from the New England Patriots is just do your job. You know, don't worry about what the next man is doing, what's going on. A successful team, a successful organization, i.e. a, office building, a company, a church, for this example, you find successful churches are able to sustain that level of success because everybody stays in their spiritual lane. The ushers are being ushers, the pastor's being a pastor, everybody's doing their role, and then at appropriate times, there is time for collaboration, there is time for feedback, there is time to get others' opinions, like, you know, what we're dealing with at the church now, you know, pastor and first lady, when it comes to certain things of the church, they're very transparent. You know, when we're talking about things that need to get done, things that have to happen where we need all the input, that's when that diversity can come into play, because you want to get different perspectives, different opinions, and different ideas. But I think some people forget, you know, we are human. We live in a world where we really don't have control, and we try to control so much. So a lot of times we bring that energy and spirit into the church where we see something going on we don't understand, so we want to say negative things about it, or we feel we can do it better, we can do it faster, we can do it quicker. But as someone stated, if God is leading someone else to do something, or if the pastor who's led by the Spirit and the Lord is, you know, destined to have the church go in a certain direction, it's not meant for you to understand. And the crazy part is, I learned this when I was a kid, it's like, you wouldn't like it if somebody did it to you. You know, we're so quick to jump out of our lane and tell everybody else, but oh God, let somebody tell me how to play the piano or how to usher right, or hey, you didn't really hit that note the way you're supposed to, or pastor, you shouldn't have hooped and hollered too soon in your sermon. The next thing you know, we feel wrong, we feel the victim. But you know, I always say, you know, when I come into the house of the Lord, I check myself at the door before I go in there. I try to make sure I'm spiritually where I need to be, focused on it. And nobody's saying you're going to be absent without the urge, because trust me, as I've gotten older, it's probably one of the most difficult things I've had to do. But when I get on the other side of it, the first thing I say is, well, thank God I didn't say nothing, because originally when I felt this way, I thought this. But then when God plays things out, when God gets you to the end, you realize, like, you know what?
God knew
what was going on all along, and thank God that I chose not to say nothing, or I stayed in my lane, because had I done something, I would have messed it up. And we all know as Christians, we get in our own way, we get in God's way, and we actually make our situations and circumstances much worse than they have to be. But, you know, you guys couldn't be more close to the truth, and I know you guys have a wealth of experience dealing with the church, but, you know, it is unfortunate because a lot of people just can't resist. And, again, being able to do something doesn't mean you're absent of the negativity or that urge. It's just you're finding a better way to suppress it, and you're being more consistent. And the goal is to get to the point where there's no urge to jump out there or do these things. But we're all a work in progress, and we're all in different parts of our spiritual journey. So some may be able to do it better than others. You know, some may struggle with it and have to work on it. But then that's when we get back to what we're doing now. That's when we have to get embedded in the Word. That's when we may have to go talk to pastor or first lady one-on-one and say, hey, look, like, I'm kind of struggling with some things. Some days I'm good, some days I'm bad. But you can't expect anything to get better or for you to grow unless you put the effort in, unless you put the work in, unless you raise your hand and say, hey, I need help. I've been trying to battle with this thing spiritually for a long time, and I need some help. But the churches that are able to do that consistently find a huge level of success, because, you know, it doesn't take much for Satan to get in the church and start causing chaos and people start fighting and bickering. And even just something as little as not staying in your lane can create a whole lot of chaos. And then the pastor, unfortunately, loses control, because remember, a pastor, he or she is human as well. So they may get in their feelings. They may have emotion. They may get tired of it and walk. And I know each of you, and you don't have to tell me, but I believe in my heart, you've all probably had days where you thought, like, man, is this really for me? Is this what I want to deal with and do, with so much bickering and people trying to tell others what to do instead of just focusing on the task that God gave you? Because every task is important. You don't got to be a pastor or part of the pulpit ministry to be important or have a critical role, because just like I can't do it without you guys, we all know that the relationship is the same way, that, you know, we all play a pivotal role. And to me, when you're dealing with a system, no part is more critical than the next. I think I was reading the other day online, they were saying, like, in order for an engine to function properly in the car and drive, I think it's like over 250 or 300 somehow moving parts that move simultaneously to allow you to put that car in drive and to drive and go somewhere. And think about how many times we start a car and that process is seamless. It works consistently day in and day out. And that's how a church should be. Every part is critical, but every part has a different role. Some bigger than others, some move faster than others, but nonetheless, it all has to work together as a unit for the body of Christ. So definitely a great question, but it is a difficult task. It is easier said than done, but I think in order for churches to be successful at it, people got to work at it, and you ultimately have to be honest with yourself. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. That's going to go to one more caller, and then we'll close out in prayer. Last four digits, 9880. 9880.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I mean, I consider myself, you know, spiritually in tune. I feel like, you know, I mean, like everybody has been saying on this line, like, you know, you have to check yourself on a daily basis, you know, because we are human at the end of the day. You know, just because we're Christian doesn't mean that challenges and obstacles don't come our way, but it's more based of how we handle it, you know. And like, you know, like Brandon was saying too, like everybody has, you know, their own role to play. And this is with everything. This is within work, within family, within, you know, the church, everywhere. And it's one of those things where, you know, as everybody was talking, kind of just in my mind is like, well, you know, let me just mind my business. Okay, let me mind my business. Let me focus on what I got to focus on. Do what I need to do for myself. And I know that if I do my role, then that's all I got to worry about. You know what I mean? And I'm definitely learning that just within work and dealing with other individuals and dealing with different personalities, I'm definitely truly learning, you know, what it really means to really kind of focus in on what you need to focus in on, because God has, you know, God has his own plan. He has his own mindset of why he's doing things that he does. And then, you know, you don't realize it until a couple weeks or, you know, however long he wants to reveal it to you. And you're like, oh, wow, this is why you did it that way, Lord. Now it makes sense. So it's like if we all just kind of focus on what the task is at hand, we don't got to worry about nothing else, you know, because God has his own motive. He already has his own plan, you know, and I really truly believe that, you know, that's what makes, you know, the churches that are successful successful, you know, because everybody is working together. You know, like Brandon was saying as well, no job is bigger than the other. You know, we all work together to make this thing happen, to make this thing functioning. You know, we all lean on each other, you know, with Bible study, with prayer line. We all are leaning on one another for that spiritual growth, you know. So that's my take of it all.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. That's going to do it for us tonight. I'm going to ask Sheila G if you have additional comments and close us out in prayer, please.
Amen, amen. Great comments tonight, great lesson. And it's something that we all need to understand, that if we are led by the Holy Spirit and we ask the Lord to lead, guide, and direct our paths, he will make it clear to us what it is that he wants us to do, what our job in the body of Christ is. And the key to understanding that is humility. And I know we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. You humble yourselves and listen to God. He will tell us what we need to do. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another good Bible study lesson. I pray, Father, that we will take the words that we've studied and looked at and put it in our spirit, Lord, so that we will be led by you, not leading by ourselves, but trusting in you to guide us in the path and do the works that you want us to do. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.